Our next public hearing is subdivision 2007-45, Deerfield Meadows LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 41.81 acres into 40 lots using the cluster development concept and located south of Route 20, 1,850 feet east of Road 483. Again, I would ask Mr. Abbott if he's received any additional comments from any agency, individual, or other in relationship to this application.
Mr. Chairman, this application was filed November 14th of 2007. The TAC review of February 28th, 2008 will be made a part of the record. The file contains plus comments, the applicant's response, and plus's response to the applicant's response to the plus comments. June 19th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan. Each of you has a copy of that. And on June 22nd, I received a letter from Mr. Robertson where he's basically approved the format of the restrictive covenants. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Well, gentlemen, who's it going to be?
Drew Ward with Deerfield Meadows.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the opportunity. Deerfield Meadows is a...
I know there's not very many people here, and I keep forgetting to do this tonight. Does anyone here that has an interest in this application, please feel free to get up, move around, take a closer look at the exhibits. Just do so quietly, and when the time is right, you'll be given a chance to speak. For what it's worth, go ahead.
Thank you. This subdivision is proposed as a 40-lot community on approximately 41 acres. The site is located east of Seaford on Concord Road. Being near the city of Seaford, this proposed subdivision is designed to provide housing for first-time home buyers as well as workforce home buyers. With shopping, restaurants, and commercial center in the general vicinity, this location appears to be a good one for a housing community where someone can build a home and raise a family. We have proposed a subdivision with a cluster design. The cluster design I'm requesting is vastly superior to that of a conventional subdivision by leaving approximately 12 and a half acres, or over 30% of open space. Under the standard lot option, the open space would only be approximately 8% of the site. This open space would allow residents an area for passive recreation, as well as providing a buffer between homes. I feel the proposed density and size of this project better fits with the overall character of the community than one of higher density with less open space. The 17 criteria in 99-9, in your packets, I have addressed all of them and want to touch on some of those specifically. The site does fit adjacent to a 23-acre tilled field, as well as three 12.5-acre parcels on the west side. We have planned a 30-foot forested buffer on both the east and west sides of the proposed parcel. Since the site is mostly clear, these trees will create an ideal setting for the homes as well as buffer from adjacent properties and agricultural lands. The rear of the site is completely wooded and will remain wooded based on this application. We have met with the Nanticoke Conservancy and are planning on completing a conservation easement on the wooded section in the rear of the site so that it can remain in its current form. As referenced earlier, we are looking at over 30% of open space, and we are not planning to remove any trees, thus keeping some of the scenic nature setting. We're providing water supply will be from on-site wells. Sewage disposal will be provided by on-site septic systems. We have received a letter from DENREC, it's in your packet, stating that the site is feasible for on-site septic systems. DLDOT has also issued a letter of no objection for the proposed entrance location. Interior roads are proposed to be built to county specifications with an asphalt surface. Speed limit of 15 miles per hour is proposed within the community. We're also proposing an asphalt walking path to provide for safe pedestrian movement within the community on one side of the street, shown on our map. The deed restrictions that we've submitted to Mr. Robertson will provide for an attractive, well-maintained community. We are anticipating and proposing land home packages from $159,000 and up, and should provide a positive effect on property values in the area. Talking a little bit about the stormwater, a system of grassy swales are being proposed to capture the stormwater runoff, direct it to the stormwater management areas. We are looking at quality management as well as potential quantity management. The stormwater management areas will be able to slow the water and allow it to be discharged only at a pre-development rate. As mentioned earlier, we're proposing to build the roads to county specifications, also including a landscaped entrance, street lighting throughout the site, and a walking path on one side of the development street. Homes we are proposing, most people that we come in contact with, as sort of as Mr. Dyer said on the earlier subdivision application, are looking for more of a reasonable price, moderately priced, affordable kind of housing. We anticipate lot prices in the $50,000 to $60,000 price range and homes selling from $159,000 to $199,000. These price points seem to be consistent with the current real estate market, and with historically low mortgage rates, this subdivision may allow an opportunity for many people who currently rent homes to purchase a home and maintain the same housing payment while building equity at the same time. We are proposing stick-built or modular homes, but are not allowing any manufactured homes. Architectural review is submitted in the restrictions to provide and maintain some kind of styling and aesthetics within the community. Restrictions provide for a minimum of 1,200 square feet of living space. And we've also included in our packet several renderings and photos of houses that we're looking at as far as construction. In closing, this proposed subdivision application is a low-density, single-family community in a country setting. This request is for significantly fewer lots than the county code currently allows. I think Mr. Murray is going to talk on some of the specifics, but we are looking at less than one unit per acre. We believe we've positively addressed the criteria in 99-9C. Are planning to form a homeowners association, which will be responsible for the maintenance of the streets, buffers, stormwater areas, street lighting, and other common areas. The subdivision will be a restricted community and will have a positive effect on area property values. We respectfully request you approve the subdivision application since it does meet the current criteria for development and will not only help keep prices from escalating, but will provide for more affordable housing for Sussex County families. Mr. Murray from Kircher Engineering is going to touch on some of the specifics of the plan, and certainly we can answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Murray.
Good evening. John Murray with Kircher Engineering. Here tonight with Mr. Drew Ward, representing Deerfield Meadows subdivision. I'll try to touch on some things. Drew talked about an awful lot of things that dealt with the site plan, but I'll try to touch on some things that we might not have mentioned. As was stated, this is a cluster option subdivision with half-acre lot minimums. They will have septics and wells. The open space that was mentioned, 4.8 acres, is set aside of passive open space. That comprises the open space that's at the south end of the property, and that's actually exclusive of the forested area. So that's actually the area that's currently not forested, and not part of any of the lots, not part of any of the buffers. The forest area itself is 5.96 acres. That is just the wooded area. And the buffers that are being proposed are 1.85 acres. Street lighting within the 99-9C elements that Drew touched upon in the development packet, system of street lighting is proposed. You'll also see that we've set aside easement areas up adjacent to the proposed entrance on the Concord Road for the placement of school bus shelter. One thing that was not mentioned was if you'll look at the south end of the property, within the woodlands, you'll see the delineated wetland area that was identified by Coastal and Estuarine Research out of Lewis. And you'll see that from that delineated wetland area, we're actually providing a 100-foot buffer from that area. I think that's something that's worth noting. And as Drew mentioned, he is in preliminary conversations with the Nanticoke Nature Conservancy about permanently preserving the woodlands on this property, which I think is something that's also admirable. One thing that I'm just going to touch upon in relation to adjacent communities. This plan shows the general area of Concord where the subdivision is situated, and on the map, what you'll see is that there are several residential communities adjacent to the property. This is the proposed subdivision location. Directly across the street, there's Pond Haven. In fact, there's another element of Pond Haven across Baker Mill Road. Adjacent to Pond Haven, you have Waterview Acres, Whistling Pines, and the Cool Ranch Mobile Home Park. This project did go through the PLUS review process, and it is within a level 4 investment area. With that, I'd also like to mention that based on the county's current comprehensive plan and backing up, the commission saw this application last week in regards to an element of a rezoning that is proposed for this subdivision. The approximately 28 acres of this site is actually in a GR zone. And you can see on your subdivision plan, the master line for the zoning divide between the two. Based on the county's comprehensive plan, that area that's within the GR zoning is actually identified as the developing area. And a developing area, it's actually specifically identified as a mixed residential area, which based on the comprehensive plan could allow up to 4 to 12 units per acre if proposed. But as previously mentioned, this subdivision design calls for less than 1 unit per acre. Within the development packet that was submitted by Mr. Ward, you'll notice near the back, we have provided a typical AR1 yield plan, which you'll notice varies greatly from what you see before you. Although there are only 38 lots on this plan, you'll notice that a significant amount of what's proposed as open space and area to be permanently preserved no longer exists. You still have the 30-foot forested buffers. We reduced the 100-foot buffer to the 50-foot buffer from the wetlands. So we do feel that what is being proposed is dramatically different from what you would find with a typical lot option in an AR1 or, for that matter, a GR1 zone. Briefly touching on stormwater management, we have run preliminary stormwater management numbers for this property, being that it is, for the most part, a straight row crop field, and based on stormwater calculations that we're required to run and submit to the Conservation District if the application was to be acted upon favorably. There's enough pre-development or existing condition runoff being directed towards Cool Branch that we can actually do stormwater management treatment on the site using green technologies, not open air ponds, not dry ponds or wet ponds, but biofiltration swales. We'd also like to mention that leaving that wooded area along the back, and specifically the 100-foot buffer, also provides a natural riparian buffer for Cool Branch. And that is something that Denerec has quite often requested to adequately manage the quality of the runoff before it enters any sort of adjacent tributaries or streams. One last thing of note, there was a question on an earlier application this evening regarding any sort of DLDOT improvements if identified. You'll see on this plan as a condition of obtaining the letter of no objection from DLDOT, you'll actually see in the lower left-hand corner of your plan entrance roadway information and the preliminary geometry out on Concord Road for what DLDOT has identified are the improvements that are going to have to be made. Deceleration lanes are going to be required, and also protect the left-hand turn lane to come into the development. There is some dialogue with DLDOT now on whether or not they're going to modify the speed limit in this area. If they do reduce the speed limit, the protected left turn lane may not be necessary, but at a minimum, the deceleration lane to enter into the subdivision would be necessary. In terms of the technical nature of the subdivision, that's all that I have, and I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here that has a question for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
You mentioned that the a walking path around the neighborhood or around the development. Is the walking path the same as the sidewalk?
Yes. The walking paths that we're proposing are going to be of an asphalt nature versus a concrete nature. Ideally, based on the price point of homes, I'd love to not have to do any asphalt walking path or sidewalk. But based on the cluster subdivision and past approvals from the council or commission, we certainly are proposing a walking path that would probably be outside the right-of-way on the lots themselves and provide just for an area of walking throughout the development.
So is that a wider road or is that a different place?
It would be a different place. I would be open to discussions about a wider road, but a wider road to us makes sense based
there's
on...
There's a grass strip that runs down to something.
A wider road, if we widen the road 4 or 5 feet and striped it, demarcating it, that makes sense for construction as well as long-term maintenance. But currently the county public works would rather us look at something that would be on the individual's lot with an easement in the same format.
Not very safe, though.
What's that?
Widening the road and putting a stripe down, unless it's for a bike path or something.
Well, like we're looking at it as a, if we widen it, it's a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit area, and that people are going to end up walking in the streets sort of anyway kind of thing. But, you know, we're talking to public, we talked to Public Works a few weeks ago about that option, but I think right now we're looking at putting a 5-foot-wide walking path on sort of behind the utilities kind of thing on the lots.
Mr. Berg, just to, I don't mean to interrupt, but just to add, that's something that we've done previously on other cluster subdivision applications. It's within actually the county engineering standard now, where if you're not going to have curb and gutter and you have swales for drainage, which we would propose for this subdivision, you'll see on your preliminary subdivision plan that we're proposing 10-foot wide cross access easements across the frontage of each and every one of the lots for the placement of the sidewalk, the hot mix sidewalk, and that is something that is county standard now.
Is the swale between the road and the pavement, or is the swale on the other side?
What you'll have is you'll have your roadway crown falling down, and then you'll have your grass shoulder into the swale. You come back up the swale into the right of way, which would be within the lots now, and then that 10-foot wide section is actually going to be where the sidewalk's going to be. So it's going to be away from the swale.
And that would be the only amenity that is you're proposing in this?
Right now, we're looking at potential passive activity in the area of lots 25, 26, potentially a gazebo or something like that. A lot of the things as far as the amenities in our past projects, we'd like to leave it up to the homeowner association so that we don't cause them undue costs. Most of the associations are trying to minimize some of their fees as far as yearly fees. So we see potentially a gazebo, picnic area, that kind of thing.
Just one more. Why is that street just stubbed out like that? Is that for parking to get into the...
No, we talked to, I think, the soil conservation. We stubbed it out, not intentionally, but basically to provide for a turnaround for fire apparatus. We may end up rounding it. I think it depends on what County Public Works would like to see. We just stubbed it just for somebody, if somebody needs access, not specifically for parking, but if they need to make a turn at that area, you know, they don't need a cul-de-sac, but a turnaround area.
Yeah, because of the length from the intersection of what's proposed is called a South Ridge Crossing to the terminal end of Vincent Farm Lane, we would need some sort of turnaround there. The geometry of what's shown there for that T-intersection actually meets, the criteria of the Office of the State Fire Marshal as an approved turnaround. We would, if acted upon favorably, we would take a look at that to see if we can round it off more of kind of a half cul-de-sac, eyebrow cul-de-sac, as people's called in the past, which is also acceptable to the fire marshal.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
Just a couple. What's your average lot size?
I believe it's half an acre.
Half acre.
Yeah.
Half acre is minimum.
The minimum.
I can't recall exactly what the average is. I don't know that
the requirement is half an acre. We're providing that on every lot, minimum.
There's no central sewer.
Right. Honestly, if you go by average, it looks like it's around 23 or 24,000 square feet. There are some that are much larger than others.
Do we have septic feasibility?
Yes.
We do have that.
Do we have
a copy of that?
It's in the book, Mr. Gordy.
Yep. And show me where the wetland area is on the...
The actual delineation, when Evelyn Marmeyer from Coastal National Research went out there, she actually was off of the property. She went along the entire back, so you can see that where the wetlands is, it actually meanders for the most part off the property, so we only have just under 0.7 acre of wetlands on the property. We are providing, but you did delineate along the entire back, whether it was on the property or not, and we are showing that 1 foot buffer from there. But this pocket on your plan that's hatched is the only area of delineated wetlands on the property.
Call the question. I have.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple. Regarding the wetland and that delineation, Mr. Murray, are you, since you're here frequently, you familiar? Sometimes we ask if the applicant developer would put some carcinite markers in the vicinity of the wetlands just for something that would hold up.
Yeah, it's on different occasions I've heard whether or not if there's actually going to be true property markers at that line when we've had lots where the wetlands have been, say, a rear lot line. Mentioned construction fencing, the heavier duty construction fencing. I know tonight there was mention of silt fencing. But I don't think it would be an issue in terms of the delineation of the wetlands. Thankfully, because of the saving of the woods, it's something that would be quite out of the way.
So that was, yes, you could yes. put carcinite.
Yeah, yeah, we'd certainly be open, Mr. Yeah. Smith.
Mr. Murray, drawing on your expertise as an engineer and preparer of site plans, the end of the stub street that Commissioner Burton referenced, could that also be converted and make a nice spot for parking space or two if you had a barbecue grill and a gazebo? Or
if it's being used as a turnaround or a turning location for emergency vehicle apparatus by the fire marshal, you couldn't park there. So there would have to be additional pavement that would have to be added for parking spaces for the amenity. Because, for example, if you look at our typical plans, our notes, we typically note that there's no parking in cul-de-sacs. The fire marshal will not permit vehicles, or legally, vehicles should not be parked in areas that are designed as turnarounds, whether they're not being used by fire equipment or emergency equipment at that time or not. So there would just have to be additional pavement added for actual parking spaces.
And one last thing, outside of this application, but during the course of your testimony, you mentioned about the request for a change of zone. Has that been heard by Sussex County Council yet?
That would be Tuesday.
That'll be Tuesday. Thank you, gentlemen.
Answer. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
All my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Council.
No questions. Just to follow on what Mr. Smith said, since County Council hasn't acted on the change zone, it's going to have to be deferred this evening. I figured you all expected that.
But, yes. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-45 Deerfield Meadows LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-45? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for being with us this evening. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.